Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Wasn't that a great message this morning? Larry, thank you so much for being God's instrument. And we're looking forward to more throughout the rest of this conference. This was a conference that I avoided like the plague when I came here as a student at the beginning of my experience at CIU. And I'm really sorry now for all that I missed, but I do understand the people that are still uncomfortable with World Christian Week. And now this is one of the highlights of the school year for me, and it was even in my later days as a student. Sandy Wensley, who's the chairman of the World Christian Week, asked me if I would give her a title for this session that she could advertise that would kind of encourage people to come. So I gave her the title, but I gave it to her late, and it never got into any of the advertisements. So I'll tell you what the title is now. The title is, What Goes Together Like a Horse and Carriage? What goes together like a horse and carriage? And the answer, of course, that most people would give would be love and marriage. Love and marriage, and that's a song, and you all know the song and everything. But the answer for our session this afternoon here in World Christian Week, during World Christian Week, at least during this session of World Christian Week, is missionaries and local churches. What goes together like a horse and carriage? Missionaries and local churches. So let me get to the bottom line, and then I'll go back and tell you a little bit more how I got there. The bottom line is, don't go to the mission field without the commendation and backing of a local sending church. This may be one of the most important things you hear during your years here as a student at CIU, especially if you are interested in being a Great Commission Christian or going yourself into professional vocational missionary service. Don't go to the mission field without the commendation and backing of a local sending church. Not just your family, not just scattered friends, but an organized, established local church where you have joined, put your full weight down, proven yourself in ministry effectiveness, and without which, without whose unqualified commendation and support, you refuse to move out into missionary service. You will not take a step in that direction without the unqualified commendation and support of a local sending church. So what am I saying? I'm saying that every missionary needs a local sending church. Don't leave home without it. Now, in this session, I'm not going to give a devotional message, but it's going to be more of a teaching session, an admonition, a friendly word of advice with biblical backing. I don't have any big illustration or story at the end, but I do have a happy ending. So what I want to do is I want to give you a word about the local church. I want to talk to you about missions, and I want to show you how the two go together. First, let's talk about the local church. Every believer in Jesus Christ needs to be a functioning, accountable member of a local church. Operative words, functioning, accountable. You need to be a functioning, accountable member of a local church. This is true of every student here at CIU, every faculty member, every staff, because we're all believers, and every believer in Jesus needs to be a functioning, accountable member of a local church, not just the mystical church, not just the TV church, not a virtual church, but a real, live, flesh and blood congregation with real people, real problems, real love, real accountability, a real local church. Now, I brought with me our CIU Biblical and Ministry Standards. You've all got a copy of this. And in here, there's a section on the church, and I just wanted to read a couple sentences from it. The book of Acts and the epistles emphasize the body of Christ as it is revealed in local churches. organized fellowships of interdependent believers. Christians are responsible for identifying with a local church and participating faithfully in its fellowship. And then it goes on to give a little more rationale. The Bible clearly instructs us that the Christian life is not just an individual pilgrimage. God has provided that believers gather into local churches for collective worship and witness, as well as spiritual nurture and accountability. Therefore, we expect all members of our CIU community, faculty, staff, students, to commit themselves to a responsible relationship with an evangelical church in the Greater Columbia area. If you commute to CIU from a nearby city and or consistently travel to your home on weekends, you are expected to be an active member of your home church. As a matter of obedience to the Lord and in the interest of your own spiritual welfare, you are encouraged to participate in the life of your church as much as your student situation permits, preferably as a full member or at least as an associate member. My wife and I are part of a local church here in Columbia. It's very interesting that the senior pastor of that church was in my youth group when I was a youth pastor. And I had him here on campus about a week ago for lunch. And I made it very clear to him, even though he thinks of me as his former pastor, his youth pastor, I made it very clear to him that I recognize him as my pastor. I feel that I am accountable to him. As a member of that church, I feel that I am accountable to that body and that I look to him as a spiritual authority over my life. And I respect him, and every time I go and he opens the Word of God, I listen to him as the instrument of God, the one that God is using to speak to me in the local church context. And he was a little bit surprised at that because he thinks of me as the president of CIU and his former pastor. And I said, no, I'm a member of a local church. I'm part of your church, and you're my pastor, and I just want to make that clear. And because I feel I have an accountability relationship just like anybody else to a local body of believers from my own Christian walk. So every believer needs to be a functioning, accountable member of a local church. So here's the question. Are you? Are you? You should be, simply as a matter of obedience and spiritual health, but especially for this session, especially if you want to be a world Christian, and especially if you have serious thoughts about missionary service. You need to recognize the authority of the local church, and you need to recognize your accountability to the local church. Now, I served, as you know, with my wife and our kids as a church planner in Southern Europe. And we were planning churches. And we get into big discussions about, what is the church and what does a church look like? And we kind of came up with three categories of churches in the church planning business. Embryo churches and emerging churches and established churches. And, of course, the big question was, what is an established church? Because you see, that's what a church planner does. A church planner establishes a church and then moves on. So when can we say that the church has been established? And let me give you the definition that we came up with as church planners of a local church. This is not perfect, but this is what we came up with. A local church is a group of people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who meet together regularly for fellowship, prayer, instruction in the Scriptures, and corporate worship, who observe the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, who practice biblically based church discipline, who exercise their spiritual gifts, resulting in mutual edification and witness to the world, all under the guidance and authority of biblically qualified leaders. I'm getting just a little bit too much hum in the mic. If we can just down a little bit, thanks. So an established church, this is a good biblical definition, by the way, of established church. You can argue with it, but it's pretty good. And an established church is really not that complicated. There's really not that many things that have to be there. And there's just some certain basic biblical characteristics, and then all the rest is up for grabs. And it's kind of fun to start a church where no churches have ever existed before because you don't have any traditions that you have to follow. You don't have any people saying, well, this is the way we used to do it in our church. You just start from scratch. You want to go to a church that you say, I'd really like to be in a church that just, you know, has a fresh look at everything. Be a church planter. Start a church somewhere where hasn't been a church before. And that's what we had the joy of doing. So the definition doesn't say anything about where it meets, or, you know, in a house or in a building, or how often it meets, or what the size of it is, or who or how you baptize, or the time of day that you meet, or whether you meet or you don't meet sometimes, and the style of worship, and none of those things are part of the definition of a biblical definition of a local church. And it's interesting that all the other stuff that's outside of the basic definition of a local church, it's mostly in those areas that believers divide. It's mostly in those areas that believers split and start denominations and different kinds of churches. And there's absolutes, and then there's convictions, and then there's preferences. And most divisions among believers take place in the convictions and preferences area, not in the absolutes area. Very interesting. I had a friend who was a missionary for many years, came back to this country where we've got a gazillion denominations, and this is what he said to me. Denominations are the luxury of reached peoples. I've never forgotten that. Denominations are the luxury of reached peoples. We got so many churches, we have the luxury of splitting up and kind of fighting with each other and deciding who's better than one another. Let me tell you, you want to see the Church of Jesus Christ function as one unit, go to the mission field. We desperately need each other when we're out there. And so we get together and we work together to reach a lost world. So let me just repeat the definition, but in bullet form. Local church means believers in Christ. It's plural. One person is not a local church. They meet together. Doesn't say, you know, in a church building or even in a worship service. First churches in the New Testament met together every day in their houses. They're under leaders. Doesn't even say whether they're called pastor, elders, exercise spiritual gifts, observe ordinances, practice discipline, and edify and multiply. Now, let me just show you a little chart that we used on the mission field to plot the progress of our church planting. See, we're trying to start churches that would be established, and we would keep careful statistics of what we were accomplishing in trying to start a church. And we divided all the people we were trying to reach into four groups, D1, D2, D3, and D4. And the D stands for disciple, and we got that from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where we're told to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we said, but there's different kinds of disciples. What's the kind of disciple we really want to see? Well, there's D1. Those are the disciples that profess faith in Christ. You know, you have a Bible study, and somebody prays with you and wants to receive the Lord. And we write home in our prayer letter, we say, this is wonderful. Giuseppe just got saved, and that's wonderful. But D2 is a person that not only professes faith in Christ, but joins together with other believers. They're there together with the believers to worship and to study and to serve together. And so it's not just a person that makes a profession, you never see them again, but they actually stick around and they're part of the body. So that's D2. D3 is a person who makes a profession of faith and regularly is part of the group, but then agrees to be baptized. Now see, that's not a big deal in this country, but in most other countries, that's where the fireworks begin. That's when you not only believe in your heart, but confess with your mouth. That's when you take a public stand. And it's at that point, especially in the country of Italy where we worked, where the fireworks started as far as the society and the family and everything. You're going to be baptized? You were baptized when you were a little baby, because everybody in Italy is a Catholic and they're all baptized at birth and so forth. You're going to be baptized again? And that's when they kind of openly kind of lay it on the line and say, I've not just said I believe in Jesus, I don't just hang around with believers, but I'm willing to be baptized. You know, an open, public declaration of my identification with the triune God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then D4 are disciples who profess to know the Lord, who attend and become part of the group, who are baptized, and then begin exercising a spiritual gift. They're serving in some way. They're not just sitting and soaking and souring, but they're giving and they're participating and they're taking responsibility and for some aspect of service or life in the church. And that, D4, is what everybody in this room should be. Everybody in this room should be D4. I mean, that shouldn't even be a question. But that's the way we track And what we're doing then is we're saying in any given year, how many D4s did we see happening this year? Not just how many D1s happened. You know, right back in your parable, we had 150 people accept the Lord at the tent meeting. All right, but where are they now? You know, and have any of them been willing to stand up and say, I'll be baptized? Are they a functioning member of the local church, exercising a spiritual gift? D4. The local church is not a building. The local church is a body. The local church is not somewhere we go. The local church is something we are. It's not just an organization, but an organism which is vital to my own spiritual life and growth. And the question again is, are you, CIU student, faculty, staff, am I a functioning, accountable member of a local church? Maybe you're still looking. Maybe you say, I'm still looking for that. There are 500 evangelical churches in Greater Columbia. 500 evangelical churches. And somebody said, I still haven't found one. You know what Howard Hendricks says? Look what Howard Hendricks says. He says this, are you looking for the perfect local church? If you find one, don't join it because you'll ruin it. The point is, there is no perfect local church because you're not perfect and no church is perfect. So stop looking for the perfect local church and look for a church where you can make a commitment and put your weight down. We join with a local church not just for what we can get, but for what we can give. Okay, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that each of us needs the local church for fellowship, growth, guidance, accountability, and discipline. And just to hammer home this point before I show you the connection between this now and missions, I've asked Louis Giglio to be here with us. And he's going to tell us just a little bit more. Listen to what he says.
I've grown up in church. I'm so sick of church. I know how to play church, and I'm just so tired of it. I'm tired of the organization and the political stuff and all that. And I got turned off to Christianity because of it, because I was just so tired of dealing with the people, and I forgot what we were all fighting for.
We as a generation of people have forsaken the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the way it works on a lot of college campuses. This semester, the Hapman College vibe is over at this church. But next year, the Hapman College scene is over at this other church, so we just all migrate eventually over a couple of years' time over there. Some of you go to four churches because you hadn't figured it out. You're a church schizophrenic, and you go to one church some weeks and another one some other weeks, and one on Wednesday night and one on Sunday morning. And here's what God is saying to us. The church does not exist to serve us, but we exist to serve the church. And God is saying to you, find a church, plant yourself in a church, join the church, ask God to use your gifts to build up that church, to nurture that church. Here's why people graduate from college and don't root themselves in churches. It's because while they're in college, they don't root themselves in churches. But God is saying it's time to mature. It's time to rise up, and it's time to step into our role as members of the body of Christ. I want to say this clear enough that everybody can understand that Passion Conferences is for the church. We are for the local church. We're for the body of Christ. We're for the assembly of the body of Christ. And everything we do, if it does not build up the church, it is in vain, and we don't want to have any part of it. And God, we join our hearts together and just say to you, we're sorry, God. We know, God, that you love the church. Forgive us, God, for being takers and not givers. Forgive us, God, for giving up on the church, for doubting the generation before us. And we pray that you would hear our prayer, that you would ignite in us a passion and a commitment for your church, that we would leave this place determined, if nothing else, to serve the local church all the days of our life. For your name's sake, in this earth.
I feel so alone, and to see that there are so many, literally thousands of people my age that love God, and they are dedicated to Him, and they desire Him, it eases my soul. It lets me know I'm not alone.
I'm not just one person. There's a million other people out there who love God and are seeking Him. And I think that's really powerful.
Players need the different styles of praise. You're quiet and those that are dancing around and arms up, and And that was really neat that everyone, all denominations, just coming together just for one common purpose.
And we've been praying for a long time that not 10 or 100, but thousands of you would leave this nation permanently and take the gospel to the billions of people in this world who've never heard of the fame and the glory of the God that we're singing to and worshiping today. So, a word about the local church, a word about missions, and how the two go together. Now let's talk about missions. When I talk about world evangelization, and many of you have heard me say this before, I make a distinction between evangelism and missions. Evangelism is reaching people who don't believe in Jesus. Every believer is not an evangelist. That's a very specific gifting. But every believer should have an evangelistic heart. We should all be concerned for lost people. Missions is reaching people who don't know there's a Jesus to believe in. Every believer is not a missionary, nor should every believer be a missionary, but every believer should have a missionary heart. It's very interesting. I just finished a book last week called, I can't remember the title, but it's all about the best, sort of most effective missionary churches, God's All-Star Missions Churches. That's what it's called, and it's got sort of a baseball motif. And one of the churches in that book says to its congregation, when it comes to our missionary responsibility, all of us fall into one of three categories. We're either goers, or we're senders, or we're disobedient. Every believer should have a missionary heart. Now let's not forget that in today's world, 9 out of 10 people are lost and outside of faith in Christ. 2 out of every 3 have never heard a clear explanation of the gospel. Many of those people live in South Carolina. And 1 out of every 3 people living in the world right now not only are lost, not only have never once had anybody tell them how they can be saved through faith in Christ, but 1 out of every 3, that's 2 billion people, have no one near enough to tell them and show them the gospel, even if they want to hear. This is the missionary task, not just reaching people who don't believe in Jesus, but reaching people who don't know there's a Jesus to believe in. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. This is not locker room hyperbole to get the boys psyched up before the game. When Jesus says all, everywhere, everyone, that's exactly what he means, and nothing less than that is full obedience to his command. Romans 10:14, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? This is what missions is all about. And these verses, by the way, not only talk about the exclusiveness of the gospel, but the necessity of human instrumentality in the preaching of the gospel. Now look at Romans 15:20. Paul says, Paul, the missionary example, the apostolic missionary, upon whom the Holy Spirit puts the spotlight as our example in the New Testament for reaching the world. Paul says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. And preaching, as he puts it here, not only involves the explanation of the gospel, but the demonstration of the gospel. So we have to go, and we have to tell them, and we have to show them the gospel and the reality of Jesus in our lives. So, we're talking about a word about the local church, and a word about missions, and now how do the two go together? The local church and missions go together like a horse and carriage. The local church is the starting point and the focal point of missions. Starting point and focal point. Missions should flow from the local church. That's the starting point. And missions should result in the local church. That's the focal point of missions. So the local church is the starting point of missions. Romans 10:14-15, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Without being sent. Here's where the local church and missions come together. Look at Acts 13, 3 and 4. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Sent out by the Holy Spirit, Saul and Barnabas went. All right, so the question comes, we look at this, we say, all right, who sent them? Were they sent by the church or were they sent by God? And if you wonder if this is talking about a local church, it is. First part of the first verse of Acts chapter 13 talks about the church in Antioch. These are the church leaders. This is the local church that's doing this. And so they lay their hands on them and send them on their way. But then it says they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So was it God who sent them or was it the local church? And the answer is it was both. The way God sends us is through the authority and the commendation of the local church. Now, there are no Bible colleges or mission boards in the Bible. We can maybe make a case, you know, School of the Prophets and Paul in Ephesus for 2 years and so forth, that sort of a Bible school model maybe, but there are really no defined Bible colleges or seminaries or mission boards in the Bible. Why do I say that? Because the New Testament church is the God-ordained training institution and missionary sending agency. This is the God-ordained place to get trained. This is the God-ordained place to spot and train and send out and commend and support and sustain missionaries. It's the local church. It's the local church. Southern Baptist Convention, 40,000 churches. 40,000 churches in North America, Southern Baptist churches. One of the largest mission agencies in the evangelical world. 5,000 full-time missionaries. I'm talking about career people. They have like 40 or 50,000 every year that go out in short term. But 5,000, you know, vocational people that go out and stay out there over the long haul. It sounds like a lot, but did you do the math? 5,000, 40,000 churches, you know what that means? One missionary for every eight churches. One missionary for every eight churches. I'm not going to stop pushing the go button. There's plenty of room for more. And there's plenty of need for more. So one for every eight. But the reason I point out Southern Baptist churches is that 83% of the members of the total Southern Baptist churches in North America go to 17% of the churches. 83% of the members go to 17% of the churches. What does that say to you and me? That says two things. Number one, there are some huge churches in this part of the world. Huge. Huge. I spoke at the not very well attended Sunday night service of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. There were 7,000 people there on the not so well attended Sunday night service. 28,000 members in that church. There's some huge churches, and what's happening is that some of those churches have gotten so big that they are saying, we don't need to send our young people off to Bible college. We'll train them right here. We've got enough people to teach them. We've got enough rooms to meet in. We've got materials. Why send them off? Why have somebody? We'll do it here. We know them. They know us. We'll train them. And then we don't need a mission board. We don't need TEAM or SIM or, you know, Frontiers or one of these groups. We'll just send them out ourselves. We got enough people to sustain them. And we can pay for the whole thing. We can keep in touch with them. We can make sure they're doing well. We can help them when they come back on furlough. And some of these churches are actually saying to schools like CIU, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? You know, we can do it ourselves. And they're saying to mission boards like TEAM and SIM, what do you think of that? You know, we don't need you guys anymore. And you know what I say when they say to me, what do you think of that? I say, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Because our agenda is not institutional survival, it's the evangelization of the world. And if we can do it through the church, it's a little more biblical than the way we're doing it now. I'm not saying that Bible colleges are wrong. And the Bible colleges are wrong. I'm not saying that mission agencies are wrong. Absolutely not. They're not unbiblical. They're not anti-biblical. They're just not spelled out clearly in the Bible. And the local church is clearly spelled out as the training institution, as the sending institution. And so some of these big churches are big enough to do it. And if they're big enough to do it, go for it. But what this tells me, 87% going to 3% going to 17% of the churches, what that tells me is there's tons of little churches. Tons of little Southern Baptist churches and tons of little other churches. in North America. And those churches need Bible colleges to help them with the training of their young people. And they need mission agencies to help them with the sending of the people from their churches that go out to the mission field. And so the New Testament church is the God-ordained training institution and missionary sending agency, but that doesn't mean it's wrong to have Bible colleges, mission agencies, and so forth. But the reason why I'm pointing this out is that none of you should be here studying without the full knowledge and approval and commendation of the spiritual leadership of your local church where you come from. I wondered if I stopped you in the sidewalk and said, does your pastor know you're here? If you would say yes or no. Some of you would say, well, gee, no, he doesn't. I mean, I don't even talk to my pastor. I mean, he doesn't even know who I am. And some of you would say, I don't even have a local church back home that I can have a pastor to talk to. When we ask for you to fill out an application to come to this school, one of the things we ask for is the recommendation of your pastor. We ask for a word of recommendation. We don't just say, give us several friends. We say, what does your pastor say? Why do we ask that? Because we recognize the importance of the local church in your life as a believer, and we want that connection to be there right from the start. Now, let me just say a word about what we're looking for missionary service in the front lines of the world today. Are you ready? Here's a good list. You might want to write this down, and you might want to ask the Lord to help you meet these qualifications. A missionary should be physically fit, spiritually sound, mentally alert, emotionally stable, and socially adjusted. All of these things are critical for effective missionary service. Now, why did I give you this list? Because if you come to me and you say, Dr. Murray, and I'm a student here at CIU, and I came here because I was thinking of the mission field. Now that I've been here, I'm even more sure that's what God wants me to do. What do you think about it? And can you give me some advice? You know, the first thing I'd say to you, I'd say, who's your pastor? Where do you go to church? Have you talked to him? Have you talked to them, the spiritual leaders of your local church? You know why? Because they know you a lot better than I do. You can snow me on the sidewalk. But you can't snow them if you've been there for years and you've been a functioning part of that church. They know you on your good days, they know you on your bad days, and they're going to know if you're physically fit and spiritually sound and mentally alert and emotionally stable and socially adjusted. So we need to look to the church to confirm those things and to check those things. Now, another list. Missionaries should be called, qualified, committed, and commended by a local church. Called, qualified, committed, and commended by a local church. Now, I was the director of a mission agency, as you know. For 16 years, I directed mission agencies. And I would speak in churches. I spoke in some of your churches, and people would come to me and say, you know, we want to go to the mission field. And I'd say, well, what's your local church? It's amazing to me how many people. I was just in a church in Florida 2 weekends ago, and somebody came up all excited. And when I talked to them, I said, "Now, is this your church?" And, "Well, no, this isn't my church. I'm just visiting." I said, "Well, where do you go to church?" "Well, I just kind of visit around." That's very common nowadays. Very common. And the minute I hear that, red flags go up, bells start to ring, ding, 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 ding. No, 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 no. Yellow flag, red flag. This is not good. This is not good. And I say to that person, you know what? As the director of a mission agency now, back in those days, I say, you know what? I don't think we should even talk much more about team or, you know, our mission and coming with our mission, because you really need to do something else first. You need to become a functioning, accountable member of a local church. And after that, after you get that set up, then come back and talk to me. Because they go together. They go together. They really do. They go together. Let me give you just a common case. A common case. A guy goes to University of South Carolina, pagan, non-church background, meets a Christian in the school, goes to an intervarsity group, hears the gospel, gets saved. Continues to go to the intervarsity Bible study, gets nurtured as a new believer, excited, grows in the Lord, suddenly realizes that his job dreams of becoming rich is not what he wants anymore, because he realizes the only thing that really matters now is God and his word and the souls of men and women. I mean, everything else is going to burn. And so he says, you know what? I think God's calling me into some sort of service or ministry or something. And so he finds out that there's a Columbia Biblical Seminary. And he graduates from USC and he comes to CIU, to the seminary. and goes to the seminary. And now this isn't home. He's not from Columbia, South Carolina. He's from somewhere else. And where he's from, he didn't have a church because he was pagan. His family's not believers. And here he's not really got a church yet because his nurturing was from his campus Bible study group. So he comes here and we tell him, like we tell all students, you know, you have to become a part of a local church. But the student doesn't really do that. I mean, really, not really. It's not really home, so I'm not going to be here after I finish. I'm not going to be here, so why should I put my roots down in a church here? So, you kind of go, and you're kind of there, or you're too busy. I mean, the studies, there's a lot of studies, and then you've got work and family, especially if you're married and so forth. And so graduates with an MDiv, or an MA in Bible, or an MA in Missions, and wants to go with SIM to Africa. But no local church connection. Not good. Not good, but happens all the time. I'm describing some people in this room. I am, and I'm not saying that because I want you to feel bad. I'm saying that because I want you to do something about it. I really want you to do something about it. It's important for you to become a functioning, recognized, accountable member of a local church. Every missionary should be a functioning, accountable member of a local church where he or she has served with blessing and has the unreserved commendation of that church's leadership. I mean it. Every missionary needs a local sending church for personal, spiritual, emotional, and financial support, for support raising, for effective field ministry, for effective mission agency relations, for profitable furloughs, for family needs, for re-entry. Now, let me just give you one example. It's sort of a little bit extreme, although it's not totally uncommon. When I was the director of team, in a two-year period, three of our frontline Bible college graduate missionaries fell into grievous moral, marital adultery and failure. Three of our missionaries on three different fields. Two of them had a strong accountability relationship with the local sending church. One of them had no connections with the local church at all. I don't even know how he got into the mission, but he did. In the case of the two that had the strong accountability relationship with a local sending church, we as a mission worked together with that church and with that missionary, and the discipline and restoration process was so beautiful, I'd like to have written a book about it. I mean, it really worked. The one who had no local church, I don't even know where he is today. There was no accountability relationship. There was no body of people that he felt accountable to. And the minute we started to put the pressure on, he quit, and he went off, and I don't know where he is today. The local church is such an important, vital part of effective missionary service. So what am I saying? I'm saying the local church is the starting point of missions. But I'm also saying that the local church is the focal point of missions. What do I mean by this? And I could speak another whole hour on this, but I'm not gonna, just going to mention this, and maybe we'll have another session in a class sometime on this. But the greatest legacy a missionary can leave behind is a viable, reproducing local church. And the question you need to ask wherever you go in the world to serve the Lord, especially if it's among the unreached peoples of the world, the question you need to ask is what I am doing resulting in reproducing churches being planted? Because that's the greatest legacy you can leave behind. Now watch. You can't plant a church if you've never been an integral part of a church. You can't do it. Or it's going to be very dysfunctional if you do. You have to learn what it means to be part of a church before you can go out and start a church. You need to know how a church functions. What's essential? What's non-essential? How does a church fight? That's one of the greatest trainings. Find out how churches fight. Because they're going to fight on the mission field just like they do here. You know why? Because we're on this side of heaven. We're outside of the garden. Yes, we're saved, but we're imperfect. And there's going to be a lot of imperfections in any church you plant. And if you think the church you're going to plant is perfect because you've never been part of an imperfect one, you're going to be sadly disillusioned. You can't plant a church if you haven't been an integral part of a church. The local church is the starting point and the focal point of missions. So, what's the purpose of this teaching, or the point? A local sending church, don't leave home without it. Whether you are a goer or a sender, you need to be an integral part of a local church. Some of you will struggle with this because you say, you know what, I'm from an unsaved family. I don't really have a home church back home. And I'm here in Columbia, but I don't think this is where I'm going to stay. And that's a big issue, and you need to pray about that. You need to say, Lord, you know, show me, do I need to find a church back in Hendersonville where I came from? Or do I need to find a church here while I'm here as a student and just kind of put my roots down and become a functioning member of that church? And so here's a prayer I want you to pray as we close this session, all right? Just a simple prayer. Lord, help me to find a local church where I can become a functioning, accountable member, whether you want me to go or stay. Is that fair? Is that a fair enough prayer? Some of you need to pray this and really mean it because you're not there, but you should be. And I'm not saying that because it's in the standards book. I'm saying that because it's in the Bible, and I'm saying that because it's necessary for a healthy, functioning, effective life, whether you're a goer or a sender. A relationship with a local church, a local sending church. Don't leave home without it. Now, I don't have any big, great story to end with, but I do have a happy ending, and the happy ending is this. I grew up in a healthy, functional, biblical church. And I will never cease to thank the Lord for that. I wish I could tell you all about it. It was an urban church. It was an interracial church. My dad was the pastor, and it wasn't such a great church because my dad was the pastor, but it was just a great church. I have nothing but happy memories of growing up in that church, of serving in that church, of learning and of growing and of seeing church discipline and seeing evangelism and the teaching of the Bible and social work and interracial work and city work. And it was just great. It was just what the church should be. It was the book of Acts. It was wonderful. And then we moved. And when we moved to another area, we as a family, and I was 15 at the time, we became part of a church plant. And we planted a church, and that church that we planted was the church that sent my wife and me out to the mission field. They knew us, and they saw God's hand on our lives, and they were able to test us and try us, and they made us stay in the church and do service there before we went out. And then when we, 13 years after we went to them, and while we were on the field, they prayed for us, they support. By the way, they were never the largest financially supporting church of the people that supported us. Never, because it was a little church. It's still a little church today. So it wasn't the money thing. I mean, that was nice, but it wasn't the money thing. It was the relationship. It was the accountability, the authority. They sent us out, and then 13 years after we were on the field, we had to make the decision because the board of directors of our mission asked us to come back to America for me to be the executive director of the mission. That was a huge decision because we were leaving the mission field. And the first people we went to were the spiritual leaders of my local church. And we said, we're being asked this by the mission leaders, but you're the spiritual authority over us as far as the local church is concerned. Would you please pray about this and let us know what you think? And they gave us their blessing. And when we came back to America to start leading the mission, they had a recommissioning service for us. It was wonderful. And they laid their hands on us again, and they said, Lord, we're sending them off to this new assignment. And then that mission merged with Team, and we had to move from Pennsylvania out to Chicago, and they recommissioned us again. And we went to them first, and we asked them what we should do. And now we're here at Columbia, and that church supports this school financially. Never supported the school before until we came here. But supports us financially now because we're their missionaries. We're their members. We're the people that they know and love and support and help. And it's just wonderful. It's a happy ending. You want to clap? You can clap. Let's pray. Let's pray. And would you pray that prayer? Lord, help me to find a local church where I can become a functioning, accountable member, whether you want me to go or stay. And I pray, Lord, that you will hear and answer that prayer in wonderful ways, and that years from now, many people here in this room will be thankful for the reminder that we've had today of the importance of the local church, especially in terms of reaching the whole world for Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Thanks a lot.